from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Wednesday. We are back to talk about the Chiefs and how they played against the New York Jets. We're going to talk about the defense a little bit. We're going to talk about what the future may hold for Kansas City. Today we are brought to you by Draft. Go join our draft at Locked On Chiefs. It is a site that allows you to go and play fantasy football. Go check it out. And don't forget about our PFF promotion. All you have to do is go leave us an iTunes rating or review and put in your Twitter handle, and you will be eligible for that.
Yeah, draft.com is going to be really interesting. We're playing this week, so if you guys just go over there, search Draft in any of your app engines on any of your devices, Google or iTunes or whatever, or go to draft.com, and if you just look up the league, Locked On Chiefs. We're playing, so we're all going to jump in there. It's a couple of bucks, and we'll tell you more about it here later in the show.
All right, Ryan, where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about?
You know, you said something a little bit ago before we started recording that kind of got me thinking about the defense. And
do we really got to go there?
We got to go there first, and we'll talk about something else later. But we got to at least cover it, because like we talked about yesterday, you know, this back and forth that they can't decide who they are or what they're going to be good at or when they're going to be good at it. It's really got me thinking. And yes, the move to the big nickel, and particularly playing Reggie Ragland more, has helped them. Got gashed a little bit early against the Jets, but settled down. And on the day, I think that they held their own in terms of allowing rushing. A couple of backs got a lot of carries and didn't gain a whole lot of yards. So I took that away as a positive. In fact, I think Forte ended up at 58, you know, under 4 yards a carry. Powell under 3 yards of carry. So yeah, they got beat up a little bit early and recovered, I think. But
well, and the other side of that also is you have three different running backs that you have to plan for, and that does kind of wear out a defense and gives you a little bit more of an opportunity as an offense when you have three different types of guys, and they really do have those three different types of runners for the Jets.
Yeah, and you know, and speaking of wearing out, I think a lot of that was how terrible they were defending third down, particularly against the pass. It set them up to get gashed on first and second down in the run, but they had to withstand a lot of rushes, 49 rushes, including the scrambles by McCown from the Jets. That's a big number, more than this team has seen all season against them. So I like that they held up there, and I think that's still a building block. But what we saw otherwise was just, man, you think they start to get it together and they don't. We talked about Revis yesterday. Still not worried about Revis. I think he'll be able to be a contributor here. I think he needs to get his legs underneath him. If he's not performing at an acceptable number two corner in 2 or 3 weeks, then we can talk and maybe this experiment has gone awry. But at this point, no red flag for me anyway. But as I looked around, as I looked at the film again, not the all 22, but just the rebroadcast, and it became very apparent to me. I like some of the things that Sutton's been doing. I think you pointed out that he used that NASCAR a little bit against the Bills. He had a couple of snaps, and I even put GIFs up of them, where he had linemen outside and linebackers inside, did some stunning. I thought that was a positive sign from Bob Sutton.
Positive and Bob Sutton in the same sentence just don't belong together, generally speaking, but okay.
Okay, just run with me, run with me.
I'll let you go with it. I mean, go right ahead. I just have a hard time saying that positive and Bob Sutton should be in the same sentence, but
that's fair. And you know me, I'm still frustrated as all get out about the way he uses the corners, but I will give him this. He got creative out of a desperation that he had, but he used the safeties interestingly. By my count, at least three safety blitzes that I thought – allowed to get some unique pressure because McCown needed to get pressured, and they weren't getting it anywhere else. You know, five hits, that's it. No sacks. You know, it, just not a very productive game in the pass rush, and I thought that's really what it comes down to.
Okay, so you're of the opinion that they need to cut Justin Houston because he's not getting it done too, right?
Right, sure. Yeah, let's take the best defender on this roster and throw him away. Yeah, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Just want to double check.
Okay, just checking. yes, he's underperforming. Yes, he's being asked to do a lot. And quite frankly, with Frank Zombo on the other side, there's no reason they can't double him. And I saw a number of double teams. I'm going to try to count it up. Or honestly, I'll probably let Seth count it up because I know he will. But when an offense can focus on Justin Houston in terms of the pass rush, he's still a man.
Well, and how
double team?
How quickly are they getting the balls out?
Right.
I mean,
time to throw is key.
That negates pass rush. If you don't have a QB holding the ball more than 3 seconds on a regular basis, that negates the pass rush almost completely. You're asking too much if you expect them to get there in under two. And a lot of those Jets plays were look at where you want to throw, figure it out, and throw immediately. Pre-snap read and get the ball out as soon as you get it in your hands.
Well, and the other thing that I would say is remember, Justin Houston's not a speed rusher, folks. He's a speed to power guy. The guy that they're missing with D Ford's back, he's the speed rusher. So when a team goes to that, get the ball out in under 2 seconds or as quick as humanly possible, which I got to go look at what McCown's number actually was. That negates what Justin Houston does. You know, he needs time to develop that power against any particular move, and that's what his game is. So I think that's kind of an underrated thing here, that we don't see the need for D Ford quite as glaringly as we probably should because of his first step and at least getting the quarterback off of his spot.
Oh, to ask for D Ford back with as much as he's underperformed lately, it's very interesting to put it that way, but I can't say I disagree too much. The other issue is not having Tom Bahali, who can't play on grass or turf. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say he can play on grass.
Turf. I said it wrong. But to find that out, because that was talked about by Reed on Monday, was that part of the reason that Tomba didn't play was because it's not a good surface for him. Well, if you have to worry about the surface your player is playing on and he didn't play for the first 8 games of the season anyway, you got big problems.
Well, and that's part of it. You know, it's difficult when you have to limit yourself to at least a third of the stadiums in the league.
Fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded a draft this season. You get to play in a real-life snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 14. The best part? Play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites.
All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using the promo code LONFL. We have a great deal with them. It should be a lot of fun. And we have our own league going. You can find it at the draft site under Locked On Chiefs. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you're going to love it. They're even offering our listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. And you're not getting that push we saw earlier in the season from the interior as well. And, you know, Justin Houston's not a one-man show. As good as he is, he can't do it all by himself. So I understand why people are frustrated with the pass rush, but you can't blame it on Justin Houston. And honestly, I think it's kind of silly to try and say that a guy that is still the only guy who's putting out is somebody that you should get rid of. That's just counterproductive. But it does illustrate the bigger question, and that is Bob Sutton's having to change what he would normally like to do in order to make up for the lack of this non-existent pass rush. And that's, I think, what puts him in even more so of a tough position, because I think Bob's natural instinct is to lay back, to go to a three-man rush, play more zone. You know, he likes to play his corners off. Even though they're man corners, he wants to play off man. He doesn't want to press. You know, I think a lot of that is a natural reaction when he gets in trouble to kind of take the aggression out of it. And I think that's the only thing that can save this defense is by –
And to use a press man corner like Marcus Peters and put him up at the line and then not have him actually jam the wide receiver is a waste of his talent.
Yeah.
I watched that happen a couple times.
Yep. Rexy, where are you? Oh, we're going to talk about in the offseason. Never mind.
I honestly, if the defense plays bad down the stretch and that's part of the reason they lose, I think they definitely need to make a change of defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid would be silly not to make it.
Yeah. Bob's at the top of the list of what may need to change come this offseason. Now, again, we're three quarters through the year. It's the story is not written. There are still some things to accomplish, and they still have some things that they can try to do. But this is an ongoing thing. Unless D. Ford miraculously recovers and Tama gets a knee replacement, you're still looking at having to manufacture pressure.
Two knee replacements.
Right, there's that. You know, I was encouraged by what Tano did. I haven't run down his snaps in their entirety yet, but again, I think he's getting better at what he's supposed to be doing. I think when he can stop thinking he's going to be able to deliver some pressure, and they may need him down the stretch here more so than we thought that they were going to.
Well, and they're going to have to make a move with Daddy Nicholas in the next week or two, either IR or activate. I'm not sure when the exact deadline is, but it's coming up soon too.
Now there's a guy, if he can run, line him up wide nine and let him use his speed, because he's quick like D as well. So, I mean, that gives you another natural option to put across from Justin Houston that may help Houston out.
If he can play, and that's a big if.
It is. We're grasping at straws at this point. But if not, Bob's going to have to continue to do some exotic things, to use those safeties. I want to see him blitz the A-gaps more. I think Ragland can make some hay rushing the passer in either the A or B gap. I want to see him use that more, but he's going to have to get more creative, because the only thing that this team is predicated on, getting pressure to help your weakened secondary, your ineffective secondary, especially at the corner positions. Even Steven Nelson had a bad day against the Jets, and I did not see that coming. If he had been lined up on Robbie Anderson all day, I would understand it, because that speed mismatch is just too big. But I'm sure he wishes he had that game back, and I'm looking for him to make a recovery here against the Raiders and down the line.
Yep, me too. I think he will. I think he's going to come back and play better down the stretch.
Now, down the stretch is the question, and I know we talked off recording before we started talking about this. Is it, you know, where are you with what is best for this franchise long term, and maybe at the changes that are coming next season?
Well, if you lose one more game, next season is really what you need to start looking at. And I hate saying that right now, but if you lose to the Raiders, you're no longer controlling your own destiny. You know, I think you really have to look at making wholesale changes all across the roster, and trying to find what pieces can work, so you can figure out what you're going to have going into 2018. And I did not think I would ever be saying that the way this season started.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that, because I'm still of the mind that if they can get things together, this team still has the talent to win out. It's still a possibility.
Yeah, and but if you lose to the Raiders, winning out, you're still subject to you would have to beat the Chargers, who have been hot. That's going to be a tough game. You would have to beat the Broncos, which shouldn't be bad, and you'd have to beat Miami. But Kansas City has really given any team that's been struggling their best victory lately. I mean, you look at the New York Giants, who just canned their coach and their GM, beat Kansas City 2 weeks ago.
Old thick Pat Riley looking for a job. You know, and I'd like to say that this is a division winner that could sneak in with 9 wins, but I'm just not convinced of that.
Well, and maybe they can, but they have no consistency. If they can play with consistency, they will win games. But if they can't play with consistency, then you need to figure out who can, and you need to figure out what pieces you have and what you have to go get. Yeah. And then you start looking at, okay, well, maybe it's better to play Mahomes from here on out, because that gives him one or two or three games going into next year. You know, if they lose the next 2 games, they're not winning the division.
Yeah, it's out of the realm of possibility. And then you're looking at 2 games where maybe it is best to start Pat Mahomes and take what you can get for Alex Smith and try to work a trade of some kind.
Yeah, good luck getting anything from him, even if he plays well down the stretch, because of how he played so poorly for that many games.
Yeah, that's fair. I would
love to see them get something for him, but I just don't see that it's going to be anything of real value. You're definitely not going to get what was thought of maybe early in the year as a first-round pick. nobody's going to pay you that unless there is a shortage on QBs, which generally there's not going to be, looking at the guys that are going to be available this offseason. And, you know, the team that intrigues me the most when it comes to trading for Alex Smith would be Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, the way they're playing all the way around, you know, there may be a quarterback away, although I think they just had a pretty good day out of their quarterback Sunday. So I don't know, man. That salary is going to be a tough one all the way around.
No, and I agree with that. It's tough, but it's something that's doable if they find somebody that thinks they're just that QB away and they have a good enough defense to put around somebody like Smith. Now, do I think that's the right move to make? Probably not. We've seen how that's kind of happened with how that's worked. But Jacksonville's defense is better than Kansas City's is now, obviously, and it's maybe better than Kansas City's has been for the most part since Andy Reid got here.
Yeah, that's not far off. Well, and let me ask you this. Should they lose to the Raiders, do they start to put rookies in? If they get to the Chargers and lose, you got to think Passanio plays and Oligwe plays, and Chesson's got to get more time, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if they lose to the Raiders, you have to consider putting in Mahomes at that point, especially if Alex plays bad. I mean, if it's not Alex's fault, maybe you give him another game. But, you know, more than likely, if they lose to the Raiders, the Chargers are winning next week. I don't even know who the Chargers are playing. I'm just guessing they're going to win because that's the way they've been playing lately. But, yeah, I would think you'd have to consider making a move. And I hate saying it because that pretty much gives up the season in a lot of ways. But if you don't know where you're going this year and you don't think you're going to – this team hasn't shown the consistency to do anything in the playoffs. Even if they make the playoffs, they haven't shown the consistency to be able to do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, my whole theory is, you know, playoffs are a reset. It's day one all over again. And if you can get hot the last couple of weeks of the season, you can make a deep run. And that's what this team has to hope for at this point. And that's why I'm stressing that it's still a possibility. And if they can get on that run, they can get something done. But like you said, there's just no way to know which team's going to show up yet. And really, that falls on Reed, doesn't it?
I would say so. You know, and there's a lot of people that ask whether or not Andy Reid's on the hot seat. I don't think he's on the hot seat. But, you know, you have to start wondering, what does this really mean for Reid in Kansas City? Because the way they've played lately, I don't know that he's going to be the answer long term. And it's
maybe not long term.
Well, but it's here's the thing for me. It's not a matter of, is he a good coach or not anymore? It's, is he going to lose the locker room? Because if he loses the locker room, it doesn't matter who you bring in as coach. They may win you a game or two, but they're not going to win you enough. I mean, you know, if you lose the locker room and you lose the entire team, that sets you back years.
That's for sure. Especially when you have so much invested in a young group of players that you need to develop, that need to hit their potential. You know, I had an interesting conversation with Casey Bloyer on Denver radio on Sunday night. And if you guys haven't checked that out, I'm on live with them, 710knus.com, every Sunday night to review the AFC West. And, you know, there are fans in Denver that are salivating over what's going on in Kansas City because they see the potential for players, Smith, any number of guys that are going to get cut. Derek Johnson has been brought up, you know, and the question came to me about Reed. Is he on the hot seat? And I said, no, he can't. He's got that extension. He's solidly in place. And he's like, well, Denver fans would like to have him if he were to become available. And what I said then, and I'm guessing you agree with me, but I want to know, you know, what I see happening is if this season ends in anything other than a playoff appearance, I think there are some drastic changes with the coaching staff under Andy Reid, but I don't think Reid goes anywhere. I think we're looking at a new DC and we're looking at a new line coach. We're probably looking at some help with the DBs. I don't know if Al's going to get promoted or there might be a new DB coach as well.
I'd have an extremely hard time seeing Andy Reid go in this offseason. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility, but I will say it is really close to out of the realm of possibility in my mind. There's just no – I won't say there's no justification for it because you can easily make a case for it, but he just got a 5-year contract extension.
Yeah, that's money down the
drain. And I don't see – Clark Hunt is not that guy that is going to go and waste that. And, you know, you can say that that's the wrong look to take, and I would understand that to a degree. But, yeah, I have a hard time thinking that Andy Reid's going to be gone after this year with the contract extension he just signed. You know, the better question to me isn't if Andy Reid's going to be gone. The better question to me is are they going to make him make changes?
I don't know that they're going to have to make him, but changes are going to be made. I'm pretty sure of that. I mean, it's the natural progression when you have a head coach that is under such a long-term contract at this point. And, you know, it becomes that this is the worst scenario. You know, you give up a number one, and now it's going to end up, if they don't make the playoffs, being a fairly decent pick. So somebody's head has to roll. There's just no way around that. So,
and I hope you're right on that, because as far as I'm concerned, the only head that can roll that really deserves to at this point is Sutton. I think he's been a day late and a dollar short for a very long time. And this defense, I don't think has ever lived up to the potential that they really had under him, in my opinion.
I have to agree with you. And, you know, if Indianapolis is on the outs, there's some coaches that might be available that, you know, people are familiar with. There's going to be changes. There's changes every year. There's going to be some good DCs out there. Maybe even one coming out of retirement for all I know, but that's a discussion for another time of year. But folks, we're going to be back tomorrow with Seth Kaiser. We're looking forward to that discussion, and we're getting ready for this next Oakland game. We'll have our preview for you on Friday. We thank you for being with us today. Make sure you're hitting those reviews with your Twitter handle in them. And thanks for listening today. We are on the Draft site on your phone or draft.com. You can look us up just by entering the league name Locked On Chiefs. Thanks for spending time listening to us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.